of love and death, the other, a Polish resistance fighter in World War II, was caught and condemned to die the following day. For some obscure reasons, the sentence was not carried out, and the prisoner escaped. While waiting for death, she had the following experience. Everywhere there is life which I must relinquish. How quick, tender, and subtle is life! How varied and full of opportunities! The winter sap flows lazily under the bark. With the spring, it will speed up, appear as buds, and the young green leaves. But I shall not meet the spring. The stream sinks under the ice will melt, and deer will come to drink, but not I. The battlefields are thundering and moaning, a tale of cruelty and destruction, of suffering heroic and meaningless, but I shall not be there. All was to me equally beautiful and dear. It was all my life, the life of my true home, the earth, my beloved earth, so soon to be abandoned. Have I understood this wonderful and mysterious life of mine, the life of the earth itself? In what strange ways and for what strange reasons was humanity always taking the road of death? I wanted to see it all again, all the killings and dying, to understand its full meaning and purpose. My consciousness, already free from the bonds of personal existence, took flight, and I suddenly realized that I can be present at any point in space and time. I found myself independent of the body. Was it true? I cannot say, but it seemed absolutely real and totally beyond my power of invention. New was the capacity to perceive and experience everything in space and time without the need of a vehicle of perception. I saw humanity on the march. From its very beginning, man was killing man. I saw him slaughtering and dying, and I was myself the killer and the killed. I was dying for many reasons, some commonplace, some strange beyond belief. I died defending my family against a pack of wolves, and then helplessly I watched them being torn to pieces. I did not save them, after all. I fought defending my hunting grounds against strangers. In our forest, there were many sacred trees in which my ancestors had lived, dead, yet present. I saw farmers cutting down my sacred groves with their axes. The holy trees were falling, and their sorrow was like thunder, and the people who killed them sang their songs, to them of victory and life, to me of the death of all I loved. Soon after, I entered the life of my former enemies and fought with them the great dark forest and its wild inhabitants. I was building walls of wood and mud round my villages and then was dying in the defense. I saw my native village going up in flames, the entire population slaughtered, and a new forest growing from the ashes of the dead. My struggle and death availed nothing. Again I was born, young and hopeful of a happy life, and I was being offered on the altar of the cruel gods who demanded an offering for the welfare of the tribe. I was willing and ready, standing at the sacrificial stone, looking at the grooves which would collect my young blood into the sacred chalice. I was dying because I loved the parting songs, the strange wild melodies I was dying so that those whom I loved might live in peace with their bloodthirsty gods. My death was in vain. Nobody was saved. Demolished were the temples where my blood had been shed. The forest spread again over my villages and towns. The songs that moved my heart were sung no longer. The enemy came and took over. I fought him desperately and hopelessly, perishing again and again in fruitless battles. Nobody was helped, none was saved. Again, I was reborn among my former enemies, moved by new loves, obedient to new loyalties. How many were the causes for which I fought? I killed and was killed, attacking and defending, sacrificing all to my love of the moment. Many times I died to save what I loved, to give it security and continuity. Many times I perished defending my religion, fighting holy wars in foreign countries. My death was needed to protect my culture, to defend my people, enlarge my state. Many weapons have I used in killing and died of as many. Killing, dying, killing, dying. My wars were endless. Always I fought and died for some dearly loved. My family, my people, my land, and my religion. My love was growing wider and richer, all embracing, yet remained as helpless as ever. Whatever I loved had to perish. My families were slaughtered, my forest burnt, my people exterminated, and religions forgotten. Always I died in vain. Never could I save anything nor anybody. Those who were killing me loved also and were fighting me for the protection and survival of their own values. But whatever we loved and fought for inevitably perished. We loved in vain. We died in vain. The ancient instruments were broken, the old melodies forgotten. Everything had turned to dust except our infinite capacity to love. Forever we loved afresh and fought afresh. Each time our love, insulted and frustrated, was reborn, ever deeper and wider, yet always fighting other loves as deep and wide, also growing in beauty and in strength. It was clear that we fought in vain, that nothing could be saved. Was it all to be condemned? How can one possibly condemn the beauty and the mystery of man's infinite capacity to love? Compared to love, death was a petty thing, destruction, an incidental proof of love, which was ever new, ever more wonderful. The struggle of mankind in love and death filled me with great silence. I felt myself but a speck of dust in a storm, and I was wondering how could I ever give value to my own existence and shirk death. Nothing was left in me but the infinite capacity to love, so absolute that nothing else, however great, beautiful, or dear, was of importance. My love overflowed and filled the world completely. Then I saw the man who loved not something against something else or somebody against somebody else, but who loved the whole and completely. He was dying on the cross. My consciousness became one with his, and I was carried beyond time and space into the eternal. My longing was fulfilled. I could be the whole of life and also its true meaning. I was united to an infinite consciousness which embraced everything in perfect harmony. This consciousness was also love, beauty, immense joy, and indestructible being. In its light, everything on earth was perfect, beyond the dreams of the greatest artists. Indestructible beauty pervaded everything, giving a peculiar livingness and loveliness to each thing. I was one with every being. I was the pine growing with its needles, and also felt the zest of the grazing deer. I lived in every being, for one lives fully in what one truly loves. I understood that I am one with the life that flows through a billion worlds and yet is beyond them. How am I to describe this consciousness? Thoughts come in succession and each takes up some time. How to express what contains all within a single point of time, like many notes struck in one mighty chord? Though I cannot describe it, there was nothing vague in my experience. Imagination cannot embrace the whole and its infinite contents at the same time. I am trying to convey what cannot be conveyed. To know this state, one must be in it. Source to form, The Mountain Path, October 1972.